When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
The 960 The Ref app.
What's that?
The 5 at 5.
The 5 at 5, yeah, which is brought to you by Duplicating Systems. More than a system, a solution. An elite segue there from Tyler.
I try.
And you may fire when ready.
All right, so obviously we have a pretty good quarterback room going into 2020. Jamie Newman's going to be transferring in. DeJuan Mathis, we hope, is going to get the medical clearance. Stetson Bennett's obviously going to be returning. Carson Beck coming in. There's one more possibility that seems to be floating out there. That's Chase Brice coming over from Clemson. Now, he keeps doing this teaser thing on Twitter where he'll upload an image of him as a young kid wearing something Georgia-related a couple weeks ago. It was the Quincy Carter jersey. He did it again last night, just like him, and I'm guessing that was his dad and some other family member wearing Georgia apparel. Would he really come here? I mean, it's a pretty loaded quarterback room for a guy that was only a backup to Trevor Lawrence.
No, I don't think he's... he's not going to come here.
Then what game is he trying to play?
I think he's, I mean, he's from around here. I think he probably is just a Georgia fan. I think he probably would have liked to have come here and wanted to come here, but Georgia signed Jamie Newman. But at the time that Georgia signed Jamie Newman, they didn't know that Brice was going to be
right
out there. And now with, at this point in his career, Chase Brice is only guilty of not being as good as Trevor Lawrence.
Right.
But there's also not a lot that we know about him because he just hasn't played much. The biggest accomplishment he has is he saved them against Syracuse 2 years ago when Lawrence got hurt and got knocked out of the game.
Yep.
You know, but there's just, you don't know much about him. So, you know, I think where Georgia stands, and Brice would have Brice will have 2 years left. Newman's only coming in here for one, but now Georgia also has the commitment from Brock Vandegrift.
Yep.
So, yeah, I think Brice has probably grew up a Georgia fan, but hey, he went to Clemson anyway to begin with.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I think he would have liked to have come here. But Georgia went out and got Newman, so I think that's going to leave Brice with options to go other places.
I was going to say, I got to imagine Wake Forest is probably looking for a quarterback now.
I think if Mississippi State had an opening, like, how would you not go there? You're like pretty much a lock to lead the nation in passing now, aren't you?
That's very true. Yeah, if you want to go to the NFL, at least get a shot at it playing Mike Leach's offense.
Yeah, Oregon would be another one that's got to replace Justin Herbert.
But that's the thing, too, is like, obviously, you said, you know, the most we've ever seen of him outside of, you know, mop-up duty is him saving the game against Syracuse, you know, last season and everything. But it's like, you know, what do these teams really think of him? He was only a 3-star coming out of Grayson in the 2017 class. So it's like, I don't know if he's even considered a highly touted transfer quarterback at this point.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's just unlike some of these other transfers that you've actually, maybe they have started and then they just get pushed out because there's a superior player that comes in and ends up winning the starting job. But, you know, yeah, I mean, at least then there's, you know, there's a solid body of work that goes with it. And that is the case with Jamie Newman. I mean, you could look at him and you've seen what he did at Wake Forest. But again, with Chase, there just isn't a lot of, there's not a lot to go on
right
there. But it's not to knock him, because at this point in his career, I mean, he's only guilty of not being as good as the guy going to be the number one pick in the NFL draft next spring.
But at the same time, I don't think, even when Kelly Bryant was the starting quarterback, he wasn't necessarily brought in as like a serious threat to taking his starting job. You know, it was like, okay, well, obviously it's going to be Trevor Lawrence, so you just kind of assume that Brice was coming in to be Trevor Lawrence's backup and only that.
Yeah, but he's got 2 years left, and... You know, he's got some snaps, and he does have that Syracuse game on his resume. And you do have some Oregon, Mississippi State. I mean, maybe there'd be someone like a South Florida that would be an option.
I was going to say, and I know it doesn't happen nearly as often in college football now, but, you know, I can't imagine that the prospect of him staying or being the quarterback that 1 year after Trevor Lawrence goes pro would be all that unappealing to him. But I guess when they're bringing in the 5-star DJ Uiulele, that's probably what ultimately pushed him out. Like, well, yeah. he's just going to come take my job after Lawrence is gone.
Well, and he's also already graduated, so he knows he can go ahead and play.
Yeah, that's true. Well, hey, we know anybody can transfer at quarterback and usually get immediate sure. eligibility. So.
I mean, Duke might not be a bad option for him, too. I mean, to go to a place like David Cutcliffe, you know, who knows quarterbacks, but I don't know. Mississippi State would be, if I was a quarterback, like, Mississippi State would be tough to pass up because you just know I'm going to lead the nation in passing.
Well, that's the thing is he came from a primary spread offense at Grayson. They won the state championship that year. So I got to imagine he's the type of quarterback that wants to sling it around the yard. So I don't know if Mike Leach wants to give him a call and bring him on in. Wouldn't be the worst thing in the world because I imagine he's probably better than the situations they got over there now.
Yeah.
Schrader and Tommy Stevens.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like that's... Not that I'm his advisor or anything, but if I was like, if Mississippi State wanted me and Mike Leach wanted me, I'd probably just go transfer there.
Yeah. Staying on the topic of quarterbacks in the SEC, we were talking about it earlier, obviously. Felipe Franks is now going to Arkansas. We obviously, you know, assume that Jamie Newman's going to be our quarterback in 2020. If you had to rate the top seven quarterbacks, so the top half quarterbacks in the SEC in 2020 in order, who are they going to be?
The top half, you want me?
Yes.
It's interesting because I think right now the guy that should be considered the like preseason first team all SEC quarterback is Mac Jones.
Okay. Yeah. I agree with that.
But also like they've got a five-star freshman who's already there, will be there for the spring. I mean, Mac Jones maybe doesn't even end up winning the job. I mean, to Saban just well, like, no, I'm gonna go with another true freshman and just just start the season right there. But I think you'd have to say Mac Jones because he threw the pick sixes against Auburn, but his two games against Auburn and even Michigan in the bowl game were
good.
I mean, they weren't terrible.
No, they didn't. Obviously, he's not Tua, and he definitely didn't have that threat to scramble around like Tua did in certain situations, but he has a heck of an arm.
All right, so I'd go Mac Jones.
All right.
I guess I'd go Kellen Mond.
You pick Mond over like Bo Nix?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd go with John Rhys Plumlee.
Okay.
At Ole Miss.
And the only reason I say Bo Nix is I just think he's going to garner a lot of hype, especially the way they ended the season with beating Alabama. And, you know, they lost to Minnesota in the Outback Bowl, where they still played a heck of a competitive game.
Yeah. And I don't know how much is going to change for him, but, you know, they have hired Chad Morris to be the offensive coordinator. And Malzahn is. So Malzahn went from, I'm back to calling the plays, to Chad Morris is coming in, and Chad Morris is going to call the plays. So, you know, in some ways you do have, you know, Bo Nix moving into his sophomore season. Now he's going to have another quarterback. But just on the experienced aspect, and he did as a true freshman, he did notch a win over. He's already 1-0 in the Iron Bowl. So I'd put him on there as a fourth off the top of my head. I'm going to put Jamie Newman in there.
Okay.
And I think Georgia's offense, I like what I've – we'll talk more about this coming up, but I I've looked at the Todd Monken's background. I've done some digging on him, and I like the things he has said.
Yeah, and you know,
in the past.
You look at the last time he was a true offensive coordinator in college football was the 2011-2012 Oklahoma State team, and they had a great passing offense, but they were also able to run the ball really well. So you imagine that's going to adapt pretty well when he comes to Georgia. And you know, given Jamie Newman's skill set and the way Monken likes to run his offense, Newman is going to have every opportunity in the world to be successful here.
And well, like probably the number one thing that I like about him is not being afraid to be aggressive on first and second down to avoid being in third and long. Yes. And I felt a lot of this season, and I'm not saying that Jake Fromm was completely blameless for the woes of the offense this past year, but I think he wore a little bit too much of it because he was just set up to fail with an offense that it felt like every single game was in a lot of third downs and the average third down distance, third and seven, third and eight. Now, like the game against Florida.
Was that 18 third downs?
Yeah, but I mean, which Georgia converted like crazy in that game because, of course, third and Grantham. But you're also like, wait a second, though. We had like 18 third downs in a game. That's not good.
Right.
So, you know, that's where I think the offense, where it was putting him in a position where you were not going to be set up to really have a lot of success being in those obvious dropback situations when you're in third and long. And I like that's where one of the things I've seen with Monken you know, which is just being aggressive and basically having an offense designed to limit the amount of times you are in third down and long. And some of that, too, is, and I like this, when you're in second and long, not just surrendering with a run to say, like, well, let's get into third and manageable, but maybe being even in second and long, and guess what? Still being aggressive and maybe even throwing the ball then.
Right.
You know, but we'll talk. We'll get into a little bit more of that. In the meantime, I'm still making my list of the top seven quarterbacks in the SEC next season. I'm gonna go ahead and put Ryan Helinski down because I think Bobo's a good offensive coordinator.
Yep.
And Bobo will have him improved.
Yeah.
So Mac Jones, Kellen Mond, John Rhys Plumlee, Bo Nix, Jamie Newman, Ryan Helinski. That's six. Number seven, this is just going to be generic.
Okay.
Mississippi State's starting quarterback.
To be named later.
Whoever that is will be good.
So run me through your list again.
Mac Jones, who
All right.
might not even end up at the starter there.
Yep.
Kellen Mond, John Rhys Plumlee, Bo Nix, Jamie Newman, Ryan Helinski, and... Mississippi State starter.
You didn't put Kyle Trask on that list?
Yeah, he's a Gator. I'll substitute Trask. I'll take Nix out and put Trask in.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now you got to imagine Nix is probably going to garner the most like Heisman hype out of all of them, being the scrambling quarterback and everything from Auburn and the way that Malzahn likes to run his offense, assuming it's going to stay pretty similar with Chad Morris. You got to imagine he's probably going to have one of the higher Heisman odds out of all that group.
Yeah, maybe Mond, too, just because of the experience. And Texas A&M will not, you know, they're not going to have Clemson on the schedule this year, and they're not going to have Georgia either. So, they'll still have to play Bama, still have to play LSU, but, you know, they should win more games next season just based on the fact that they don't have to play at Clemson or at Georgia, which they did this past year.
Yeah, they're going to be 6-0 rolling into Auburn October the 17th.
Yeah, so essentially, what do they substitute at Clemson? What's the
Colorado?
All right, so
a group of or a Power Five non-conference opponents.
All right, so they trade a road game at Clemson for a home game against Colorado, and instead of coming to Athens, they host Vandy.
Yeah, there's a trade-off. I mean, yeah.
That should be right off the bat. That's two more wins than they had last season.
Yeah, so they're realistically be 9-3, and we don't know what the heck LSU is going to look like. They could be a 6-6 team. This could be a possible 10-win Texas A&M team.
All right, so last year they lost to LSU, Georgia, Clemson, Bama, and Auburn beat them, right?
Yes. All the best teams they played.
So, you know, are they going to be able to, you know, are they going to win at Alabama? Probably not. Could they beat LSU at home next season?
Maybe. I think the Auburn game could be a toss-up.
Yeah. That's a weird series where Auburn has not lost in College Station since Texas A&M joined the league, but Texas A&M has beaten them over there a couple times. So,
right.
To me, if they could flip the Auburn game, they don't lose to Clemson and Georgia. Instead, they beat Colorado and Alabama. I mean, that's three more wins right there we just found for A&M next season.
Right. Going the right direction.
I mean, dare I say, are they... Dark horse natty contender.
I think they could be. You know, if you are able to beat LSU and maybe win a toss-up against Auburn and your only loss is on the road at Alabama, that's a pretty heck of a good resume.
Well, you know, we addressed this a couple of weeks ago, but when you are looking at – you look at all these preseason national championship odds that basically come out the night of the national championship game.
Right.
There are – long shots do not win. But if a long shot does win, and LSU, you know, call them a longest shot from last year, they were 25-1.
Yep.
Ohio State in 2015, after they lost Braxton Miller in the preseason, were 40-1. They actually fell to 50-1 after they lost to Virginia Tech in the second game of the season. But yep. We're talking about Ohio State,
yeah,
who 2 years before that had been undefeated. Or they, I guess the year before that had been undefeated, right?
Yeah, when they had the sanction against them.
Yeah.
No, that was 2012. They went to the Orange Bowl in 13.
Yeah, so those, and then they won it all in 14.
Right.
So, and then Auburn in 2010.
Yeah.
So basically, if you're looking, all right, what's some long shot team that might win it? Probably some team from the SEC. So Texas A&M would be the, the best value of a team right now with longer odds to win, because they're an SEC team in the West, and they're just by virtue of trading Clemson and Georgia, they should have a better record next year for sure.
Right.
And like you said, I mean, at least when you're 6-0, right, before the trip to Auburn?
Yep.
Yeah. And then after that, if you could somehow survive that, then they're at South Carolina, which I'm not going to say is a layup either.
Nope.
But then they go Ole Miss, Vandy at home before they go to Bama. So, I mean, I don't know. They could get to that Bama game with one loss.
Right. Yeah, not unrealistic by any means.
Yeah. And Bama, after they lose to us, they'll already have at least one loss, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
We go down there and beat them in week 3.
And then they go to LSU even before Texas A&M comes.
Yeah. I don't know. Is this an 8-4 Alabama team next year?
No.
No.
Bama will be back probably in the SEC championship game in the playoff next season.
Most likely.
Yeah.
Tonight, Zion Williamson finally going to make his NBA debut.
Excellent. I'm going to be watching the Australian Open, if it's okay with you.
Well, I'm probably not going to be watching the game either, but any expectations? Is it as amazing as people are going to build it up to be, or is it just going to kind of be he played all right?
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because it ain't going to be like last year when Duke crushed Kentucky in the first game of the season by like 80.
Right.
And then at that moment, you're like, oh my God, Duke is going to go undefeated and win it all. And then Duke should have been beaten in the second round. I mean, and I know Zion was hurt for the game at the end of the regular season, but they needed Wake Forest to miss a layup at the buzzer to beat him in Cameron Indoor.
Yep.
So it's the NBA, and it's a different game than in college, and he came in and made a splash there, but I'm going to say no, he's been sitting out the whole year with an injury.
I was going to say it's so convenient that his debut comes on a primetime 9:30 game on ESPN against San Antonio. Like, that just lined up very perfectly, didn't it?
Yeah, and like the Spurs they're not great or anything, right?
No.
So, not like he's getting his maiden voyage in the league is against like LeBron and the Lakers or
right.
the Clippers or someone like that, but
right.
It is on TV though.
It is on ESPN because they'll have the 76ers and Raptors at 7, and then immediately following that is New Orleans and San Antonio. Those are the only two like nationally televised games. There's no TNT game tonight.
I guess while I'm watching the Aussie Open, maybe I'll flip it over there.
You're not going to watch the Clippers come into State Farm and take on the Hawks?
I'll probably miss that.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even – Trae Young is a game-time decision. He might not even play.
He's questionable. I mean, they're not going to win the game anyway, but regardless.
Well, what is Kawhi going to play, or is he on load management?
I don't know. This seems like a load management type of game.
It does. Because, like, what was it the Hawks played the Rockets, and the Rockets' next game was at Oklahoma City, so Russell Westbrook didn't play in Atlanta for load management so that he could play the return game to OKC.
Do you blame him?
No, I mean, I don't, but at the same time, it's like, well, like, it's the Rockets, the only time they're coming to Atlanta, so you wish these guys would play more, but ultimately, the goal is to win an NBA title, right?
Yeah, of course.
And the best thing, and at least they feel now, is to not play as many. And I know the league tried to get rid of they don't play as many back-to-backs. They try not to even do the stretch, or they might play like 3 games in 4 days or 3 games in 5 days to lighten it a little bit. But you still do have a lot of load management happening, and a lot of that load management happens, when the Clippers play the Hawks.
Right.
So I haven't seen anything about that. So maybe Kawhi will play.
A final one to close out the 5 at 5. It was announced that J.J. Watt is going to host Saturday Night Live the night before the Super Bowl, which I guess means he's not going to go to the NFL awards ceremony because that's like going on at the same time.
Yeah.
Which is kind of weird.
He might not be in line to win anything this year.
I guess not because he was hurt most of the season, but still, you'd think he'd at least be there as like the former like Man of the Year winner or whatever. Anyway, if you had to pick one athlete, past or present, to host Saturday Night Live, who would it be?
Peyton Manning.
Which he did.
Which he's done it. I mean, can I do someone, or do I have to pick a new one?
I was thinking somebody new that hasn't done it before. Because Peyton Manning did phenomenal, by the way.
Oh, Peyton Manning is phenomenal, but...
Great segment where he threw the ball in the kid's face.
Yes.
Yeah.
But, like, Tom Brady was a stiff.
Yeah. Well, Tom Brady just doesn't ooze personality.
No. Like, Jordan was a stiff. Barkley's hosted it, too.
Yeah.
He was pretty good. I think Barkley's hosted it a couple times, and one of the times he hosted Nirvana was the musical guest.
That's a good show.
Who else? Oh, George Steinbrenner hosted it. I've heard a lot of good stories about, like, there were skits he didn't want to do. He would nix, and right. Like, Lorne Michaels was afraid to go in there and talk to him, so he would just send, like, Fred Armisen in there to, hey, we've got this idea for a skit, and Steinbrenner would be like, I already told you no, get out of here.
Yikes.
I mean, Peyton is, like, the good, but try and come up with someone who hasn't done it, though. Has LeBron ever done it? Not that I don't think he'd be good at it.
Pretty sure he's done it.
Oh, you know who would be good at it? Blake Griffin.
Yeah. I don't know. Does he have enough star power to do it, though? I know he's like a household name in the NBA, but like you're talking about somebody that would have to appeal to non-sports fans.
He doesn't, but he would be good at it because I've seen him. He's done some of those Comedy Central roasts.
Okay, yeah, that's true.
And he used to do some stuff for like that Funny or Die website because when he was with the Clippers,
yeah.
He was out there in L.A. He's not the one writing his jokes.
Yeah.
But he's part of like joke telling though is timing.
Yeah.
And you know, it's one thing to have something funny, but the way you deliver it makes it funny. Like just it on the page, the joke itself doesn't always work, and he's got that knack. So I'd say him. I think he'd be good at it. I get it. He's not a household name. He's not gonna drive up ratings. But I guess J.J. Watt is, but yeah, I mean he's not gonna be any that's a lousy
get. And I didn't see the season of the Texans on Hard Knocks, but I've heard people say that he was just like trying too hard to be funny with the cameras around, so I imagine that's probably a lot of what you're gonna get with him on Saturday Night Live.
Well, the whole thing too with where he would, you know, they would have these parts where the whole team had left to go home and then he's out there still practicing and working out on his own.
No days off. First one in, last one to leave.
Right. Convenient. I'm sure conveniently, too, is like, hey, guys, why don't you turn the cameras on for this while I'm out here by myself still working hard?
I was going to say, I didn't get to see that series of Hard Knocks, but I know one thing. The person that stole the entire season was Vince Wilfork in those overalls.
Yes, for sure. As we wrap up the 5 of 5, Tyler, I would like to let you know that Kawhi Leonard is not playing tonight. He is resting.
Yeah. What's their next game?
They are... Well, you know what? This is the second night of a back-to-back.
Okay.
So they played last night, so
That's right. They were the only team playing last night. They played the Mavericks.
Wow, this is great. They're also going to be playing without Paul George, who I think is legitimately hurt.
Yeah.
But... Leonard will be sidelined for load management purposes. I think that's my new favorite phrase in sports is load management.
Load management and transfer portal.
Transfer portal's a good one too.
Yep.
But all right, no Kawhi Leonard. So there you go.
They're still gonna win.
Yeah, but no Kawhi Leonard and no Paul George. And Patrick Beverley is also out. Is that their top three players?
Yeah, I guess so.
That's good. But the Hawks might be without...
The Hawks are going to play their bench.
Yeah. The Hawks could be without Trae Young. That's great.
For not load management.
Right. He's also legitimately hurt. The Clippers play again on Friday. They're at the Heat.
Okay.
But they played last night, so Kawhi can't play two nights in a row.
Nah.
All right. The 5 at 5 brought to you by Duplicating Systems. More than a system, a solution.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.